I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. At Lighthouse, we're celebrating 22 years, actually coming up 23 years in December in business and just entering our ninth year of doing open line programs. We have some new and exciting changes that have taken place. First, we have our new 2016 open line format that comes with the launching of our new website. You can also find an archive of past topics on the publication event tab. And over the years, we've covered pretty much any topic you can imagine you're going to face in your business. And we have a program for it, or also on our Keeping on Track publication also. Plus, we have a new book, Cracking the Business Code. It's available on Amazon, or you can click on the book icon on our homepage. Our topic today is the mobile workforce. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services. I'll be hosting our program today. We have just a few housekeeping items, and we're going to jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the very first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, bringing effective insight to your organization. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar and assist companies with interpersonal coaching. In fact, we just opened an office in Taiwan this past year, so if you have an operation in Asia and would like to get leadership coaching for them or providing ideas of how to interact with a U.S. company, please let us know. Our Keeping on Track open line series is in response to the calls we get both domestically and globally from our clients to address issues that organizations are facing today. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible, so please join us with your thoughts and insights you have along the way. At the conclusion of our program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guest. So during the program, you may want to write down two or three questions. You can either send them in or just hold them until the end. I want to introduce a very special friend, business colleague, Victor Avalos of the Lab Information Services. Victor is the best of the best, and that's why he's on this program today. For two decades, Victor has been helping companies using technology to improve their business processes and to increase profitability. He founded the Lab Information Services back in 2004 to provide small and medium-sized companies the services of a strategic consultant as compared to a mere technician. And I can tell you, Victor has been ahead of the curve because many organizations in the past have used their IT department really more for plug and play in a sense, but he's more of an information services person looking forward as to what a business is going to need. And that's why I thought Victor would be so key for this conversation today. And I just feel so privileged to have Victor with us today to help share ideas with each of us for preparing for not only 2017, 18, 19, but beyond that, and for dealing with today's issues also. And registration for our next program is going to begin at the end of today's program, and the topic is going to be global strategic planning. Victor, welcome to Open Line.
Well, Dana, thank you very much for having me today. It's certainly a pleasure, presenting today to your group. I'm very excited about it. You always have such kind things to say, so thank you very much for the warm welcome, more than warm welcome. I'm very excited to talk about the topic here, which is that mobile workforce. And we're going to talk a little bit from a technology perspective, certainly, but definitely want to address, as many of the issues that come up with, having employees work outside of the office. So with that, let's go ahead and get started. And let's define what a mobile workforce is. And basically, that's just a group of folks that work from varied locations, whether that's their home or a satellite office. And they're all interconnected using the Internet. They're on computers, smartphones, and today they may be on tablets or other types of connected devices. And really, the goal here with the mobile workforce is just basically the concept of having the office anywhere and everywhere, being able to do work from any location that you happen to be. what are some challenges connecting the mobile workforce? And really that comes down to just having the right tools and services to be accessible from anywhere and everywhere. You know, what's going on with email, calendar, and contacts? Are the people working remotely? Do they have full access to all of their desktop applications? What about their back office? You know, how are they tied into accounting and or customer management, or what's going on with product and inventory management? How are they accessing their files that they would normally be able to access when they're in the office? That's a key thing. You know, for those of us that have been, you know, working a good amount of years, don't you hate it when you go home and, gosh, I forgot that file or I forgot that folder at home? Well, you know, how do we provide those files to employees when they're working away? And then how can our phones help us be able to, you know, conduct business while away? And finally, there's that security and management component that comes with, you know, having remote employees. When you start opening up these systems to the Internet to be able to be accessible from everywhere, there are some security concerns. The moment that you have employees that are you can't see or touch, how do you manage them? And, you know, how can you remain confident that, you know, you're still achieving the same level of productivity as if they were in the office?
Victor, what are the top three challenges you see that companies face when they're either going to, they're considering either getting, having a mobile workforce or expanding?
I think it's, you know, a lot of it has to do with that control factor. You know, certainly there's that, you know, how do you manage, you know, is that concept of how do you manage, you know, people and or things you can't see or touch, you know. And so really the biggest things to set up a successful mobile work environment is, you know, to have a great support system for the staff when they're away from the office. You know, who do they turn to for issues and their concerns? You know, who do they turn to for guidance? And what does that look like? Is that, you know, how often are folks meeting about, you know, whatever the departmental meetings or whatever their processes are and getting together and making sure that everybody's on the same page and moving fluidly despite the fact that they're all not in the same place. In addition to that, you know, how are you reporting on their productivity? You know, they're not there. They're certainly working. You can tell, and it has to be beyond whether or not there's, you know, how many emails they're sending or responding to every day. So how much work is getting done, and how are you managing that? And, you know, so what's your productivity reporting look like? And then finally, is that accountability, right? It's that tough conversation, whether inside the office or outside the office. How are you holding your employees accountable to that level of productivity that you're looking for?
And, Victor, one more question before we go to the next slide. And maybe you're going to talk about this later in the program, but one of the issues that, or concerns that come up with some organizations, how do you keep people engaged as a team when they're not sitting next to each other and they're not meeting in the same conference room?
And that's one of those things that actually I will be touching on a little bit, probably on the next slide or so, but it really is about using some of those new technology tools to help keep the employees connected while away. So there's some really great technologies that are out there that, you know, could go beyond email, beyond chat, to go ahead and have a, you know, a video communication even, or a team video communication, so that everybody can see each other, meet each other, you know, still have the pleasantries, that camaraderie that's built, even while away.
Thank you. Okay. Look forward to hearing about that.
So there are two ways to execute this mobile-first strategy, right? You know, the first thing is, you know, I have an office with, you know, a bunch of servers and computers, and I want to be able to have my employees be able to do work while away. Well, the first thing you've got to do is somehow open these systems up so they're accessible from the outside. And there are two ways to do that. You know, one of them is you can take your servers and you can move them away and put them, or, you know, put them up on the Internet somewhere so that they can be accessible from anywhere anybody would be accessing it from. You can do that taking your servers off-site and making them publicly available, or you could just open up the security on your site to make them openly available. There's some pros. The biggest pro is, of course, that's a slam dunk. It's very easy to do. You get some good network management in there. You can open up these systems. The biggest cons is that, especially if you're taking these systems and you're hosting them out on the Internet, you know, you're going to add some additional cost to that, whether it's a hosting cost or some additional security costs, because now you're gonna now that you're exposed your systems out to the internet, you have to lock them down. You have to pay for the locking of them down and the monitoring to make sure nobody's, you know, trying to execute something nefarious on your systems. And the second option always is just to take your current applications that you're currently using and living with every day, and actually finding, you know, cloud counterparts. And the pros to that is, of course, the security and the compliance is already built into these services and products. There's a lot of service providers out there who have gone ahead and taken these systems and moved them to the cloud and provided, you know, a good, stable, secure platform to allow that function to persist. But the con to that, of course, is you have to plan for a migration, right? You have to move, you know, your process out to this other system, and you want to do that without having a loss of service or productivity. So,
and Victor, do you work with internal IT departments, or if organizations are all comfortable with their IT person, but maybe this is they may not be fully versed on
how to get some of this stuff that comes. Yeah, you know, absolutely. Typically what happens is, you know, I'll get invited into a company, you know, through the management group, and we'll invite IT to participate, and we'll talk about, you know, what our management goal is. Our management goal is to take this system or this application, and we want to open it up or make it available over the web, and how do we do that, and what's the right tool for it? You know, what often happens is, you know, IT is too busy, you know, maintaining their servers, maintaining their computers, and taking on the additional task of finding the right service or the right application or the right way to get something done. You know, they're too focused on the day-to-day to be able to look further out. And so having, you know, me to come out and help guide them in, you know, finding the right solution for the business to move forward, you know, something that I've been able to help, you know, several companies do. So, you know, getting back to the how we primarily communicate in the office, which is that email and the contacts and calendar, you know, some companies may choose to, you know, now is the time to cut the cord, so to speak, right? Rather than paying for the maintenance of these internal systems to do email, calendar, you can just go ahead and offload those services to an external provider to have them do that for you. Two of the big ones, of course, are Microsoft and Google. And, you know, their tools are already secure. They're built with collaboration in mind, meaning that, you know, employees can intercommunicate in varied ways. There's universal access, whether they're accessing on a tablet or they're accessing on a computer or they're accessing on a phone. They can access it from anywhere. And you pay as you go, right? You pay per employee. So you have a really great way to manage your IT costs in that fashion. And so you get a lot of bang for your buck.
A question. So if everything's working, if it's not broken, will we make a change?
Right. If for some reason you find that, you know, there's no feature reason, you know, we seem to be communicating correctly, we're not missing, you know, there's no feature that's added, there's some benefit that's added by switching. A switch may be necessary just because, you know, you want to free up your budget. You want to free up your budget to do something else. So one place where we can shave some of the cost is rather than having this monthly expenditure to maintain a mail server, for example, switching it to a service provider, paying that, you know, nominal monthly fee, and then using those dollars to maybe migrate, you know, a back office application to the web, maybe, you know, just what the doctor ordered to get that project moving forward. You know, when it comes to allocating dollars, it just may just be the ticket as to why to switch.
And I know you've worked with a few organizations where they made as part of their strategic plan, they cut their overhead dramatically through the plan by reducing square footage for office space, putting probably 60 or 70% of their people remote, and they put a lot of thought into the planning, and the execution, I have to say, was quite amazing. especially when the organizations have what's called Technology Day. I assume the people come together, they get flown in from all over the country for Technology Day, but then I realize, oh, wait, these people are all spread out, but they're using technology for collaboration and brainstorming
and staying
how to
together.
Make things even more efficient and better.
That's exactly right, and so that's where these these tools that Microsoft and Google that they provide, they really help with that. Because beyond email, right, beyond that email security, there's these other ancillary applications. Microsoft has, of course, Skype, and Google has Google Hangouts to allow you to be able to have these personal quote unquote meetings virtually. Right, where you can tap into and actually see who you're communicating with. The whole team can communicate and talk to each other seamlessly as if they were in the same room. So having access to these additional tools really makes that worthwhile and keeps everybody connected, right? Being able to share files very easily, keep the files out of email. In addition to that, there are some social features to some of these tools. As social is a really big platform, especially a lot of our millennials. They like to communicate in this fashion. These new tools are built with social in mind, where you can be on a video chat and also, start chatting away and, really be as interactive as possible. You can create closed social platforms to keep everybody in the know as to what's happening in the organization. You can have your own private Facebook, quote unquote, where you can publish the goings on in the company, and people can set up rooms and about or pages where they can basically relate to each other, whether it's their hobbies or their work or their preferences or what have you. So you can really make a very welcoming environment for people to communicate in whatever their preferences. Video, social, chat, email, text, what have you. And these tools are built with that in mind.
And it's a matter of thinking about it, so how the organization wants to integrate. So that's why the thought has to go into it.
Yeah. And you hit the nail on the head. It really is about keeping, how do we keep everybody connected? And, so offering them as many tools as possible to be able to do that and really solve the communication gap. Problem, right?
That's great. Thank you.
All right. So email and calendar seems to be a slam dunk. The back office applications, that's your inventory, that's your customer management, that's your accounting. Those are a little bit harder to make mobile. So those have to be given a little bit more thought and more time and more energy. Oftentimes, some of these systems are really large systems with their own servers and or proprietary software. Some of them are very specialized systems, and they may be from smaller vendors that kind of were late to the mobile party. So they're not quite as open to be able to be accessible from anywhere. And at times, depending on how old some of these systems are, they may require kind of like a scrap and implement a new cloud-first alternative approach. And some of the applications, trying to bring them out and make them available to folks may not be as easy. And that's something that you want to keep in mind and really want to be able to plan for. And at times, be able to work with your vendor partner to see what options are available and what are the best practices, what are other companies doing. Everybody has the same pressure that you have, which is how do I get information to my employees wherever they happen to be. And there might be some good lessons learned from them, either them or their competitors. So the next thing to think about is, your documents and files. How do you make those work files and papers securely available, right, over the Internet? And if they're not already electronic or digitized, then you're going to want to, start thinking about how you prioritize, digitizing your documents. And one good way to do that may be doing an on-job function. You have a slew or a group of employees who are primed for mobile, and they're going to be working away. There may be the division or a specific department that, can work remotely. Well, you may want to focus on them and try to see what it is going to take to give them access that they need to all their files and folders securely. And it's certainly not going to, may not be necessary to scan everything. or make everything available online. You can be as selective as you want to be.
What if something's missed that's really important?
Well, you know, then that's where that looking at the process, you know, for that department or that group will be really key. What you find is that, you know, using this process approach where you, you know, take a process from start to end, you'll be able to capture all that. So you know that you have that peace of mind that, you know, if you're dutiful about, you know, mapping out what the flow of that process is, you will catch the document or how documents get created throughout that process all the way through. All right. And regarding file sharing, this is another place where you might choose to use the cloud. You know, you can do selective sync for files, keep some of the files local so that they can be available to you even when you don't have access to the Internet. You can really manage and maintain sharing where you can have controlled access to people's access to files so that you know exactly who's looking at what file when. And that leads itself real well to security, because when you have a secure environment where you control who has access to files, that's the place that you want to be. These new cloud services, they have a lot of audit and compliance measures in place where you can really control and report on where these files are going, who's accessing them, who's downloading them, who's uploading them, who's changing them, you know, what revisions are being made and all that. With version control, you can very easily go back to a previous iteration of a document in case somebody made a mistake and be able to correctly recover from, you know, an unauthorized edit.
So, Victor, in today's world, the cloud has been around for a number of years now. In the beginning, there was a lot of concerns over, quote, the cloud. Any thought as far as mid-sized companies of what percentage are still using servers in-house versus converting to the cloud?
You know, a lot of these mid-sized companies, they're you know, taking a lot of their systems and making their own private cloud. If they don't find that they're getting that peace of mind or that security they're looking for from these, you know, third-party vendors. But really everybody's solving for the same issue, right? It's, I need to make my files and folders available to my employees wherever they happen to be. And often that's going to be on the road, on a sales call, or, you know, they're working from home 3 times a week. So we want it to be as effective as possible. And so although, you know, cloud has been a four-letter word for a bit, and everybody, you know, kind of hesitated to kind of jump on, more and more companies are doing that. And what's very exciting is that more and more companies are opening themselves up to the possibility that these third-party services can do some of these things a lot better. You know, when you look at some of these systems that are built, you know, with compliance in mind, for example, a lot of rules and regulations around, you know, managing and storing documents, whether it's HIPAA or Sarbanes-Oxley, and, you know, these are third-party vendors. That's what they do all day, every day. So they do a much better job than, you know, any company can do, even with their own internal IT staff, especially around security, right? You know, these guys see a lot more of these security or attempts, you know, security breach attempts than any individual company will. So the thought that, you know, a company will be able to do better than, say, Google or Microsoft or whoever at, you know, keeping these intruders away is maybe short-sighted. And I think a lot of people are opening themselves to that. It's like, you know, this is a big headache. I'd rather have somebody who that's all they focus on worry about that for me. And let me focus on running my business. So, yeah, so just it's more and more people doing it, whether they're relying on third-party vendors or hosting their own private cloud. It just seems to be everybody's going that way.
Thank you.
All right, and then one of the systems that can actually be, you know, really lead to encouraging this remote workforce is your phone system and how capable it can be, right? And again, that's one of these other systems that you would think would be the last thing that you could upload to the cloud, but in fact, there's a lot of good reasons why you may want to do that. Okay. Some of these new vendors have really, they have some features on there, and a feature set and a competitive set that just, you know, it's kind of tough to beat with an in-house phone system, whether that's unlimited calling or some features like, you know, the find me and follow me or the fax and voicemail, transcription right to your email. You know, these features, you know, a lot of phone systems have them, and they're really great to use, but, you know, if you don't have them now, outsourcing your phone, having it not be part of your office and actually be somewhere in the cloud, may be to your advantage. You get these new features, and you also don't have to have the worry of, you know, now I have this phone system that I have to maintain, service they maintain in my location. A lot of these newer systems, of course, can have cell phones act like they're an extension of the system. So you can imagine you dial somebody 1234, and it'll find them and it'll locate them in their cell phone. And if they need to call you back, they call from the cell phone, and it makes it seem like they're in the office calling you back. So that ability to be able to really take it to that level where your cell phone, whether when you're in the office or away from the office, is actually an extension on the system is really, it's pretty neat. So, you know, these newer systems can do that. In addition to one of the best benefits I tell folks here in Southern California for why moving your phone and PBX to the cloud is a good idea is because, you know, in the event of a disaster, say we were to have an earthquake and you would not be able to have access to the building, how would you route your calls? How would you do your call forwarding? How would you manage that? Having a phone system that's not in your premises makes it a lot easier to be able to remotely manage and be able to direct calls as you see fit.
And that's also the benefit of, I mean, we're talking about a cloud phone system, but just generally from a security standpoint, having everything on a cloud is much more reliable in case there is a disaster.
Right. You know, unless you're doing the, which you should do, right? You know, the process is when you have servers in-house that you're managing, there's a cost to that, to maintaining that server. There's a cost to making sure that that server, you know, you have a process in place that you can duplicate that server at a remote location so that you can still manage to get work done in the event of a disaster. Cloud kind of solves some of that for you in that, disaster or not, you're always accessing the, you know, these servers remotely, and you now you know this disaster is already built into how you run your business every day, and that's what's really neat about that.
That is great. Good planning. This is a big one.
Right. So that security and management, you know, and we touched briefly about this earlier, and that you can do your own internal security management. It can be costly, right? Because to find the right person with the right skill set to protect your environment, you know, is going to be something that's hard to do, and you're probably going to pay top dollar for. You know, and then there's part of that has to be these, you know, periodic compliance audits, right? And you have to have them validated by somebody else to make sure that you're doing everything you can to safeguard that data. So if you don't want to take that on, right, the external security management looks a little more attractive in that if you contract with a service provider who can guarantee, you know, the minimum level of compliance that you need to run your business, then you should be all set, right? And then what you need is you just need that comprehensive reporting, that comprehensive management tools, right, to let you know that your systems are as secure as you need them to be. You have to remember that with either way, whether it's your internal or external security management, you're always as secure as your weakest link, right? And oftentimes that's going to be a computer that's compromised or just uninformed employees, right? They're the folks that you really have to worry about the most. You know, these services that you contract with to maintain some of that security doesn't absolve you of the responsibility to make sure that your computer systems are safeguarded and your employees are well informed not to inadvertently click on things they shouldn't be clicking on.
That's a really good point. As a matter of fact, later this year, we're doing a panel discussion with three organizations that's all they do. Are war games. They are security experts protecting organizations and larger companies for the most part. But this is what they do. So by having it on the cloud, Victor, so those organizations are doing those war games, aren't they, constantly?
Right. Yeah. They have, you know, full teams full departments devoted to, you know, preventing intrusion on their systems, and they guarantee that you know, those exercises are going on every day. But in addition to that, it's that communication, right? If there ever is a security issue, they are really good about communicating it timely and effectively, and you know, mitigating it against whatever the potential loss would have been. So, you know, they're on the hook. They take it seriously. They have departments devoted to it. They're preventing intrusions where they can. And if, God forbid, something were to happen, they're going to be the first ones to communicate and get that information out to you and let you know what you got to do.
So let's say someone is on the cloud. One of their employees accepts or opens something up they shouldn't have opened, or they did it by mistake, and then all of a sudden unleashes a virus. So now it's all of a sudden the employee going in to the cloud system. So how do they know, how does the cloud know to stop that or prevent that or stop it from going further into the system?
Well, you know, some systems do have a, you know, can have a requirement to say that if, you know, computer is not, seems to not be up to date or patched, right? It can't access certain systems. You can make those type of requirements. That's something that you find that's necessary for your business. Oftentimes what happens, how these bad actors get caught, is because you have an employee who is, you know, they're in sales, and they're trying to access, you know, information that is, you know, management reporting that they shouldn't be able to access, or but they're trying to gain access to these files that they would normally not need in their day-to-day work, and that's how you see that. Okay, so if somebody were to, if somebody's systems were to get compromised, that bad actor doesn't necessarily know what this individual has access to, and they'll start, you know, trying to, you know, check and download it or access it, files that they normally would not. And that's when these things seem to kind of immediately crop up. You know, you have somebody that's behaving incorrectly. Kind of like with your credit card, right? You go to a credit card. Credit card company seems to know roughly where you live and what you spend your money on. And if you do, you know, you have a charge that they say it's not within your norm, they'll call you. So it's kind of along the same lines.
Okay, so if it, again, part of the strategic planning process is to be ahead of that to prevent somebody that comes in, or maybe a current employee that has gone astray, of how to put the proper watchguards,
lockdowns in place. Yeah, yeah. So you know, with the cloud strategy for files and folders, for example, you know, you'd get pretty specific as to who's going to have access to what and how can they share and who has permissions to share outside the organization, and if anybody were to access a document that they shouldn't, you know, you would have some visibility to that. You know, most of these systems today, you know. Sally downloaded this file, or Sally previewed this file, Sally edited this file and updated it. So you would have that kind of visibility to be able to see what Sally's been up to.
Oh, perfect for tracking. And what's the worst security issue that you've encountered?
Well, actually, specifically along these lines, we had a situation where a customer of mine, they had an NDA with a potential client. So they sign this NDA, and you know, the potential client shares some information with my client securely over the cloud. And you know, a few months go by, nothing ever came out of that deal. A few months go by, the potential client reaches out and says, "Hey, we think that you were in breach of our NDA, and you know, we're going to start our, you know, litigation process because we think that, you know, someone that you, you know, accessed our, you know, private information, and you shared that with a competitor." And using, you know, the cloud service that they were on, we were able to prove when that file was received by the client, who and all in the organization saw it and had access to it, you know, when it was shared, who it was shared to, and in fact proved to the potential client that no one that shouldn't have had access to that file ever did. And if any communication went out to a competitor, it certainly didn't come from my client's office. And so that's one of those places where it was a security issue from the, you know, potential client's perspective that turned out to be not true, right? And we were able to prove as such. We were able to show the reporting and say, "Hey, proof positive, you know, this information was not shared outside of this company." whatsoever. And if there was any security issue, it would be right back on their shoulders.
Interesting. Hey, matter of fact, I know of a company where they had an employee that attempted to sue the organization over something, but they had really good systems for tracking all the data being sent back and forth, and the claim was fraudulent.
Right.
And they could prove it because they were able to track everything appropriately.
Yeah. Thankfully, I can honestly, say that, from my client base, I haven't had a, severe enough security issue where we've had some close calls, like maybe this one, even though it wasn't really my client's fault. Well, we have had some internal testing. Like one of the things you described earlier was this war game scenario. One of our larger clients, we went ahead and we tested out what their employees' aptitude for, infecting their network would be. So we staged an email that made it look like it was coming from a printer within their organization, but it wasn't. And we checked to see what our click-through rate was going to be and how apt our, this client's staff was going to be to open it. And unfortunately, we learned that employees like to click on their emails a lot more than we would like them to. And, about 65% of their employees clicked through and could have potentially affected their network. And so that was pretty scary. And what the result of that was just really having an honest conversation with the staff and saying, hey, this was not legit, and here's, we basically deconstructed that email for them and said, hey, this is why you need to look at these emails carefully. You see how, this was the wrong printer brand, and this was the wrong place it came from. This is not our email address. And, basically deconstructed these emails to make them intelligent about and aware about, how to be able to see somebody that's trying to get access to your system or to your information. And be able to, prevent this inadvertent clicking.
And what's really great now, Victor, is that whether a company has 10 employees or hundreds of employees, all organizations have access now to utilize the technology that used to be reserved for multinationals as far as sophistication. Would you agree with that?
I do, and I think that's really neat and exciting, and it's also pretty scary for businesses. I mean, the reality is you can have an ex-employee, go out and, start a business and compete using these systems that are very easy for them to pay for, right? It used to be that when you started a business, you had this point of entry, right? You had to, buy office space and have the lights on and, servers and phone system and what have you. And today you literally are paying as you go. So if this guy is going to, set up shop, all he needs is a computer and a phone, just probably has a cell phone. And he's good to go, and he can start up shop right away. So, yes, it's really great that there's all these fabulous tools out there that make it so easy to look like a big boy. But that comes with that risk of anybody could with enough of skill, obviously, and ability to be able to compete with you effectively. But they could go over and start up shop and start doing business and competing with you, hitting you pretty hard, and they don't have that overhead that you have.
Right, right. So those are very good points, and it still comes down to relationships as far as the market goes and that kind of thing. But for sophistication, if companies aren't taking advantage of the vast technology that's out there that organizations can be using, that was discussed today, you got to readdress that. You got to really think about that.
Because if you're not using it, your competitor or your future competitor is, and that brings them, gives them a lot more leverage, right, in the marketplace. Allows them to keep their costs down, right, and, blow you away on price.
Right, right, right. Good point. Victor, did you want to cover any other topics right now, or should we open up the line in just a minute?
I think I'm good if anybody has any questions.
Okay. So what we're going to do is, because we've been asked by attendees in the past to turn off our recording feature, and people don't want to have their voices recorded for whatever reason. So we're going to close this part of the discussion down, and then I'm going to turn the recording feature off, and then we'll open up the line for everybody. But I want to thank everybody for attending today, and Victor, this is phenomenal. If you want to reach Victor and talk to him further about specific opportunities that you have within your organization, you can call Victor at area code 213-596-7210. That's 213-596-7210. Or you can contact Victor at v.avalos, A-V-A-L-O-S, at thelabis.com. So, Victor, thank you for being on the program today, for sharing some amazing insights and ideas that I hope everyone will start to think about and incorporate into your business planning. So let me turn the recording feature off, and then we're going to be right back and open the line up so people can ask questions directly to Victor. So please stand by.